Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Top 4 at 4 this afternoon. Brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank. Here's Adam Hickman.
Thank you, Russell. Number one, big news today. The Vols added four-star transfer quarterback Joe Milton from Michigan this afternoon. Milton originally was a highly touted four-star recruit out of Orlando, Florida.
So we got a good Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day rolling over at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. I'm asking the audience, who will be the starter at quarterback for the Vols in the season opener against Bowling Green? Your choices are Milton, Hooker, Maurer, and Bailey. Surprisingly, with 245 votes cast, nobody has written in Caden Salter. So I guess we're just assuming that since he's missed all of spring practice, there's no way he can be the starter for the season opener.
And that's really sad because I kind of felt like he had a good shot of coming in here and winning the job.
Me too.
It's got to be Milton or Hooker, though.
Well, 245 votes cast, 31.8% of respondents say Hooker, 24.5% going Milton, 22.9% say Bailey, and 20.8% say Maurer. Very divided takes there amongst the Tennessee fan base.
Yeah, I would say that Milton and Hooker are probably going to give you the same thing, though. I mean, flip a coin between those two. They're kind of similar players.
Well, let's circle back to that. We'll chat about that here in a second. Continue.
All right, number two, Chet Holmgren, who is the nation's number one recruit, has officially committed to Gonzaga.
What was the last name of the dude in Weird Science? What, Chet? Now, I know if you hadn't seen Major League, you haven't seen Weird Science. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do not know what you're talking about.
So, Weird Science, Hickman, get this. 1980s classic. These two high school nerds, these two dudes, nerdy dudes, are like computer geeks, right? They create, using a computer, they create a woman for them to, you know, I guess, sleep with, essentially. Kelly LeBrock. It was a total smoke show back in the 1980s. Now, you might be finding the TV show, because there was a TV show that was based on with Vanessa Angel, who was but the movie is the TV show is based on the movie. But anyway, what was I talking about? Weird Science. How did we get here?
Well, I told you that Chet Holmgren committed to Gonzaga.
Yeah, Chet was the creepy older brother played by Bill Paxton in the movie of Weird Science.
Might have to add that one to the list.
Trying to remember what his last name is. Anyway, that sounds like I can only picture Chet from Weird Science as playing center for Gonzaga now.
Well, Chet Holmgren also does look kind of nerdy a little bit.
You know what that means? Dude's a stone cold baller.
Still probably won't win the Natty, though.
Oh!
Number three. Cops in Louisiana are on the lookout for Alden Smith. Smith made his return to the NFL last year with the Cowboys. He recently signed with the Seahawks last week, and now there is a warrant out for his arrest for second-degree battery.
Golly, man.
Yeah, he's done.
Dude just cannot stay out of trouble. I thought he's done several times before, and he keeps getting other opportunities.
So I was looking at his player profile on that one stat website everybody goes to. Was he suspended for four straight years?
Yeah, he was out for a while. He's been suspended several times, but he was gone for a while, and then the Cowboys, of course, are the team to give him a another chance. And I think it, what did he play for, a year or two with them? Kind of kept his
nose clean. I think it was 1 year. Yeah. I think it was the start of this season.
Well, just can't stay out of trouble, I guess.
And number four, as if people didn't know who the number one pick in the NFL draft was going to be already, as a thank you to Jags fans for the many wedding gifts that him and his wife received, Trevor Lawrence and his wife will be donating $20,000 to a Jacksonville-based charity.
Boy, that guy's just sliding right in. He's picking up already.
How does he have $20,000, Russell? He's never had a job. He's been the best quarterback in college football
for
3 years.
He's declared for the draft now, so he can sign with an agent and take out loans and do endorsements and all that stuff. So, but your point is well taken. I do not live in any sort of illusion where Clemson players are not getting a little something extra on the side.
Watch them pick Zach Wilson now. Thanks for the money, Trevor.
Oh, man, that is the top four at four. Brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive, with offices pretty much everywhere. Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Seymour, Kodak, Morristown, Jeff County, and, of course, Knoxville. Citizens National Bank. Check them out online at cnbtn.com. Call 865-429-7521 for the call center. For wealth management, 865-429-7916. Title and escrow, 865-286-8016. You can find all those numbers and more information online at cnbtn.com. Appreciate their longstanding and running support of the show. So, yeah, Raker Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question is interesting this afternoon. Who is going to be the quarterback? D.R. Vol writing in for JG. Come on, dude. You're not funny, D.R. Vol. It's not funny. We're moving on. We're turning the page. We're not talking about Garantano anymore. Chet Donnelly was the older brother in Weird Science. Thank you, Bill. Astute listeners. We ask sports questions. What was Butch's record? Who had the better program, Tennessee or Kentucky? Nothing. Nobody wants to help us out. We have to go find those numbers ourselves. We ask, what was the character's name? What was Chet's last name in the 1980s cult classic Weird Science? And immediately people are like, yeah, it's Chet Holmgren, dude. Oh, man. Love you people. 865-546-8200. 546-8200, your number to get on the show. I just don't think that Milton would be transferring to Tennessee if he didn't think he was going to start. And I know that you get the free transfer and everything now. And I'd be curious to know, is this just the one-time thing, right? So he's already enrolled. I believe his clock starts as soon as he goes to class. So I think this is pretty much locked in at this point. But he knows that Hooker, Maurer, and Bailey are here. He wouldn't come here if he didn't think he was going to start.
Yeah, he's got to at least be on the he's got to at least have the mindset of thinking that he's definitely top two.
I watched some highlights of him on YouTube, and you can see him playing in games, Big Ten games, played against – who was the he started the first game against Minnesota, and then the second game against Michigan State. And that's where
Indiana too.
According to Trey, he tore some ligaments in his throwing hand
in the Indiana game.
In the Michigan State game.
Oh. Well, he played three games, I'm pretty sure. Because he had a dime against Indiana. Really beautiful pass for like a 48-yard touchdown.
That was my takeaway. He's a big kid, he's a legit 6'5", can stand in the pocket there. Very strong arm, can throw darts. Not as mobile as Hooker, I don't think.
Yeah, he's not as – I think Hooker's got him. If you were to line him up and let him run a 40, I think Hooker's got him beat. But he did.
I think Maurer has both of them beat, though.
I don't – we won't – I'm going to keep my mouth shut on Maurer.
No, that's fine. I think he's probably low man on the totem pole at this point based off what we're hearing. But what I would really like to know is if you could get Heupel – on the fan run lie detector, inject him with sodium pentothal, and I would just love to know what he's thinking. Is this a – I'm not really sold on any of the four guys we have right now. They're not bad, but they're not blowing me away either. and I just want to add another guy? Is that what he's thinking? Or is he thinking, this dude Milton is good. He's really good. He got caught in a weird situation in Michigan this year. He's good. He's better than the four guys that are currently on campus, and he's going to step in here and win this job.
Well, when you don't have a quarterback, I guess, I mean, who are you to turn one down if you don't have one for the future? So I guess you got to take them if you can get them.
Yeah,
until you find one.
But and I keep coming back to, I don't think Milton would come here if he didn't think he was going to be the starter. And I don't think Heupel and company would be looking to bring him in if they were satisfied with what any of these three that have gone through spring practice have done so far or what they see in Salter's potential.
And I still want to see Harrison Bailey get a legit chance.
So, since 2013, Tennessee is 50-46. I've got 50-46. No, it's 50-48. Brian is right. So, since 2013, Tennessee is 50-48. Kentucky is 49-50. We're basically a game and a half better than them.
But the head-to-heads with
the last 8 years
over that time span is probably, what, they've won two?
Well, they've beaten us twice, yeah.
Yeah, two.
Or no, they beat 2017, and then this year. Was there another one?
What was Pruitt's first year?
I think it's only those two.
Because I remember we lost to Kentucky on the road, and if I recall correctly, this was the most Tennessee thing ever. JG throws a Hail Mary. It's caught 9 yards short of the end zone.
Yeah. So we're 6-2 against them in that span. Still the better program, but what a pathetic conversation, right? 865-546-8200. Rusty ends are coming up here in about 10 minutes. Let's get Don in here next. Good afternoon, Don. You're on the drive.
Well, guys, I was going to give you that answer. 50-48. I added it up. But
you crunched the numbers, huh?
Yeah. Well, are you just going back 8 or are we going back 13? Because that's what your Kyle TK was talking
about. Yeah, we're going back to 2013 since Stoops has been there.
If you go back that and add it up, we lost last year, like you mentioned, 2017. I keep thinking there was another one in. Oh, we lost. Well, we're only going back to Butch. So never mind. I was thinking about Dealey.
Yeah, 2011.
So if you really evaluate all that, we're slightly better, you know, and we beat them.
But it's interesting, the perception, and perhaps this speaks to the fact that we still have some pride around here despite what's happened the last 10, 13 years is we're basically the same, right? But their program, their fans are over the moon satisfied with where they're at and the direction, and our fans are just over it.
In that time span we were talking about, though, I think Kentucky has the best overall season between the two programs.
They did have a 10-win year, yeah.
Yeah, actually 11 wins, counting the bowl game. Mm-hmm.
But we had the 2 9-win years, and I think Pruitt went 8-5 one year or so.
Of course, on the other hand, their best team, the year you're talking about, and also
got
probably
smoked.
The best team in 40, 50 years, we beat the crap out of them.
We did. So, beat them like a drum, Donnie.
Absolutely. Talking about Mr. Milton. Our new QB transferring in. You know, you said, well, unless he thought he was going to start it, he wouldn't have come. It's exactly what they said about Hooker. So somebody's wrong.
Yeah.
I think Brian Bauer's going to start.
He is the most physically gifted. The open practice, I went there, Don. I don't know if you were there, but he makes all the throws. He's by far the most athletic as far as a runner. I thought he had the strongest arm. I know it's all about what's between his ears and can he pick up the system and not make the catastrophic mistakes and all that stuff. And I don't know the answer to that, but to me, from just a sheer athletic standpoint, he's head and shoulders above the other guys, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, Coach Halsey, you know, had said, and also Coach Heupel, they don't want him thinking, so he's in. So, I don't know. you know, and I, as far as Salter, I really would like to have seen if he'd kept his nose clean and could have went through spring practice. Yeah. I'd like to see him because everything he did in high school in Texas, I mean, he just was a clutch going through their state playoffs and all that kind of stuff. I just like to have seen it. But we didn't.
He didn't.
No. You know, talking about that baseball game Saturday, man, I watched 9 innings of college baseball. I was so dejected on the throwing error, and I just knew it was going to cost us the game. But I tell you what, when that ball went over the fence in the eighth, I don't know if I've been any more excited since trying to think maybe the Hail Mary at Georgia.
It's funny, Don, when he was coming up, and everybody, it was one of those moments where everybody in the stadium is thinking it, right? Because he's already homered twice. And we're all thinking, No, it's not going to happen again. There's just no way. But what if it did? And then the first pitch, too.
It yeah, he didn't wait.
It was just, it was surreal. As soon as, I know other people were, and even Vitello said it seemed like the fan energy carried it out. For me, as soon as I heard the crack, I was like, oh, that it's gone. Like, he just did it. It was, what a moment.
Yeah, it's like Chris Burke, you know, on the call, was like,
oh, no
way.
And I didn't get to hear John's on the network, and I still haven't got to hear that. They say it was pretty pretty amazing call, you know, from our guy. So hopefully I'll get to hear that some more.
It was great. I heard it.
Switching gears just for a second on basketball, I read an article – I'd read some original articles when we got Q, the French guy, speaking pretty highly of him, but I read one on the Rivals main board by a Florida writer, not a University of Florida writer, I don't think, but somebody based down there wrote for Rivals or whatever. And, man, he just absolutely raved about this guy.
About he Milton? Said,
about Q, the French guy.
Oh, yeah, and basketball, okay.
Yeah, I said basketball.
Not bad.
He just absolutely went off. He was there I don't guess it's kind of like AAU or something. I don't know. Game when he just took over, scored 25 points, got the rebound to secure the game, he could shoot from three levels. So he may be one of the guys that when we're looking at all the five stars, four stars, and this that, he may want to be one of those guys that's
I hope so.
And then surprise us all.
You know what's interesting, Don? I was reading a thing by Ross Dellinger on SI.com over the weekend, and it was about the new transfer rule and how that is going to impact recruiting in all sports. Oh. And Greg Campy, who is the head coach at Oakland in basketball, a really nice mid-major program, Tony Jones coaches up there now on that staff.
Yeah, I know Oakland.
And he was saying – If you're a high major team and you're recruiting high school players, if unless we're talking about the five stars, if you're recruiting 3-4 year developmental guys in a Power Five conference, you're going to get lapped.
Yeah,
and it's just those schools are going to recruit Tennessee, the SEC schools, Big Ten schools. You're going to recruit the five stars, but other than that, you're recruiting colleges, and colleges are already setting up collegiate scouting departments where you've got guys, your quality control guys and stuff, who their only job is to scout other college players, right? You're not even thinking about high school anymore. So the high school kids are going to go mid-major. The major school, the Power Five schools, are just going to be recruiting other Power Five and Group of Five players, and maybe even some D2 players, and then they're going to turn around, and it's just this weird cycle where you're just going to be keep going up the ladder, and players are going to go to D1. You're going to have good a player like Jordan Bowden or Skylar McBee isn't going to be able to go to Tennessee anymore. Those kids are going to have to go to Belmont or Murray State or something like that. But then if they play well there, they're going to get to go up to Tennessee or North Carolina or something like that. And that's just going to be the new normal. So I hope Dabunje turns out well for Barnes, but I fear that he might be one of the last players we take like that.
Well, you might be right. I don't know if you read the article or maybe even heard an interview on another radio program with Donnie Tindall.
Mm.
And he's down there winning national championship in Florida, JUCO program.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he said. He said, you're not going to have programs anymore. You just have teams. And that you take the major schools, Power 5 schools, they're going to be stealing from the mid-majors. Who will turn around and steal from the NAIA and JUCOs. And it's just going to be, you know.
It's good. It's the wild, wild west.
Yep.
Don, we got to run, man.
All right. Take care, Rusty.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Rusty Enzer, SEC Network college baseball analyst. He had his record tied again by Evan Russell. We'll talk to Rusty. A little Tennessee baseball talk coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Cruise along with you, Monday afternoon edition of the show. Back to the G3 Help Me Hotline we go, where SEC Network college baseball analyst Rusty Enzer, VFL, standing by. Good afternoon, Rusty. How are you, sir?
Russell, how's it going today?
Hey, man, it's going pretty cool. We got baseball fever here in Knoxville. Another huge weekend over at Lindsey Nelson. What did we learn about where Tony Vitello's squad stands in the SEC pecking order, in your opinion, Rusty?
I'm sorry, you broke up on my cell phone. Say that one more time again, Russell.
Just saying, what did we learn about the Vols and where they stand in the SEC pecking order over the weekend?
Well, you know, I said this a couple of weeks ago on your show, and I still feel the same way. This team is, I think, taking the city by storm. There's no doubt about that. But I still stand behind my original comment. They are not the most talented team in the league. But they play hard. They're exciting to watch. The improbable typically happens, as we've seen a couple of times this year from Evan Russell. And they're just, it's just a lot of fun at the ballpark. I mean, what you texted me, what, on Saturday? You went to the game, right?
Yes.
How did Eli like it? I would assume Eli went with you, right?
No. Little man did it. He's not going to sit still for two. He's not going to sit still for 2 minutes, let alone 2 hours, Rusty. I was fortunate enough. A friend hooked me up with the tickets, but it was unbelievable. It was every bit as good as the atmosphere was back in the '95 day Helton team.
Yeah. Now envision this. Let's put another, I don't know, 2,500, 3,000 more seats in the place and make it look like a real baseball stadium, and then what's the atmosphere going to be like?
Well, you know, you say that, Rusty, and certainly we have to do that, right? Because you got to keep Vitello happy, and it's just it's time to expand. But I made it a point to get there a little early and walk around the entire stadium. Rusty, I got to say, we got a beautiful ballpark, man. Like,
we do.
The way the trees line around the – I mean, it's just a great college vibe in there, and I know it's outdated, but I don't think that you got to blow it up and start over by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I think you can certainly add on to it and things like that. And, of course, you know, I see a lot of talk on social media about, you know, let's pay Vitello, let's extend his contract, and all that's great.
Yeah.
You know, he's making good money, probably more money than he's ever made in his life. But I think that, and I've not talked to Tony about this, and I don't know this. This is just my opinion. I think rather than having a raise, although who is going to turn down more money, right? But I think he would really like to see his stadium have a facelift, more seats, a better press box, a roof on the thing, and make it look like a real baseball stadium. That's going to help his recruiting. I mean, he's recruiting the heck out of the situation right now. Can you imagine what he would do with a stadium that would be, you know, up to par with, you know, maybe Arkansas, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State? I mean, Kentucky, Florida. I mean, just down the line.
Yeah, no doubt.
We need it. We need it. And, you know, I've told people all along, I said, I think they would expand the stadium if we could produce a winner. Well, it's hard to produce a winner until you have the facilities. But Coach Vitale has been able to do that right now. So, unfortunately, coming off of COVID, it may not be the perfect time, but something's got to be done.
Well, and he's just got that personality, right, that connects with the fan base. And people love that guy, man. After the game Saturday when he's trotting out to the outfield to chat with the team, everybody's chanting, Tony, Tony, as he comes out there. And he's got the town eating out of the palm of his hand. You can't let that guy go, Rusty. You gotta keep him happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think his players like playing for him.
Oh yeah,
I think his players certainly take on, you know, his attitude and things like that. The way they play, the swagger that they have, and it's, I mean, it's pretty impressive. I mean, I think Tennessee, the athletic department, is just sorely needing something good to happen,
yeah.
And it's happening with the baseball team this year. It's pretty exciting. It really is.
Rusty Enzer with us this afternoon. So Rocker comes in and just shuts it down. He's pretty much got it on lockdown Friday. Tennessee bounces back with the emotional victory on Saturday. And I heard Vitello talking about this after the game. He said that, like, he had to take a moment to compose himself before he talked to the team because it was such a roller coaster. To me, Rusty, it looked like we saw the difference between a veteran team and young team. I thought Tennessee looked emotionally spent yesterday, whereas Vanderbilt has been there before, and I felt like that really showed. Did you see something similar?
Yeah, I did. And listen, let's not forget, Vanderbilt is the defending national champions.
Yes.
You know, they won the College World Series last year, but they won it the last time they played it in 2019, right? And they've won, what, two national championships in the last, what, 8 years maybe, or whatever it is. I'm not great enough. But yeah, I mean, listen, Vanderbilt's better. And I believe you said it on the show 2 weeks ago, heading into Florida and Vanderbilt back-to-back, you said, hey, if we go 3-3 in these next six conference games, that's good. And that's exactly what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And it is good. We're 10-5. After the first half of the SEC slate, I mean, we hadn't had 10 wins in the SEC halfway through since, what, 2005? So, I mean, if you start to break it down, I think we played our hardest half, the first half. And, you know, Texas A&M's not going to be easy on the road, but they're not as strong as they've been in the past. Kentucky's going to be a dogfight, but that's a winnable series here the following weekend. We've got Missouri. That's certainly a winnable series on the road. South Carolina and Arkansas are going to be hard. But I mean, nobody's easy. But, I mean, we've got a really good chance. As long as we continue to play solid baseball, I think Tennessee's got a really good chance to win, you know, 17, 18 games in this league. And that's really good. I mean, you win 17 or 18 games, you're hosting a regional. There's no doubt.
Wow. Rusty Enzer with us this afternoon on The Drive, talking Tennessee baseball. Rusty, what did you make of Tim Corbin's comment about there's no COVID in Knoxville? I know he meant it as a compliment, and I guess trying to put a little pressure on the Vandy administration to open things up a little bit more in Nashville, but it still struck me as a strange thing to say.
Well, at least he wasn't complaining about the Legends of Legends, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like Pulmonary was. But, I mean, I found, you know, it's funny because I went to the game on Friday, and I watched the game on Saturday. And I remember watching the television, I was going, like, nobody's wearing the mask in the Vanderbilt dugout. I mean, Corbin didn't have one on that I saw, at least when they showed him like that. So I was going, like, well, what's the big deal? And I read that on Twitter last night.
Were our guys wearing masks? I don't even notice.
Yeah. Yeah, we were. I mean, all the head coaches were, at least I've seen throughout the league, you know, during the game. But when Corbin was over there, he was jotting down notes or something. He wasn't in the third base coaching box because he coaches third base.
Yeah.
And I just found that a little bit strange. But anyway, which is fine. He can do whatever he wants. But, I mean, I think that was a little bit of a backlash to his administration by saying, hey, let's get some fans in here. And listen, there was no question that the fan support the last 2 weeks, or you can even go back to the LSU series. All three of those series, we've had great turnouts, people waiting in line to get in, 2 hours before the gates open. I mean, that's never happened that I can recall in Tennessee baseball. I mean, this is great what we're witnessing here. I'm having a good time just watching this team.
Oh, but I know you of all people. I mean, you've been living and dying with this program since you played back in the day, and you've been doing the TV work for a long time. And I remember talking to you when the last couple of hires were made, and you were like, man, we can do this. Like, it can happen here. And so I know for you, it's got to be, because I mean, you live and breathe this stuff year round, Rusty. So this has got to be extra special for a guy like you.
Let's see, how do I say this tactfully? Yeah, I've witnessed a lot of below average baseball the last 20 years at times.
Yeah.
And it's certainly been frustrating. Now, we've had good players. We just had
sure,
for whatever reason, hadn't had competitive teams and things like that. I mean, I think back when I was really working at the TV hard, I worked 13 straight SEC tournaments. And I think Tennessee played in the SEC tournament, I think maybe four times. When I was down there, five at the most. That was disappointing. But, you know, I mean, it's just these guys are having fun. The coach is a really good leader. Everybody likes him. I mean, it's just a fun time to be a Tennessee baseball fan right now. And I know a lot of my friends who played there after me, you know, they're excited about it too.
We've talked several times. You mentioned it earlier. The talent level here at Tennessee is not. There's no Todd Helton on this team. There's not really a Hoshaver on the staff or anything like that. But what do you think about the talent level? I know not a lot of folks follow college baseball recruiting, and with the draft, it's so difficult to recruit and predict what you're going to have on your squad. But what is Tennessee missing right now, and how close are they to being able to go toe-to-toe with a team like Vanderbilt?
Well, a team like Vanderbilt, which is an anomaly because they're probably going to have the number one and number two players in the draft, and that's never happened from the same school. But you get a team like Vanderbilt in the postseason play, and, I mean, you can run a regional and especially a super regional easily. I mean, you can win five straight games and get to Omaha. As long as the pitching's on, it's pretty easily done. I mean, Tennessee has. I mean, it's hard not to have a Luke Hoshaver. You have to get lucky sometimes. You have to have a track record. You know, Vanderbilt has that track record. Hey, Jack Leiter, don't take $3 million out of high school. Come to Vanderbilt and get a couple of years under your belt. You're draft eligible after your second year, and you're probably going to double that in your salary. Plus, you get a couple of years of education under your belt. Boom! That's exactly what's going to happen. Tim Corbin and his program—they've established that. LSU has established that. Florida has established that. We haven't really established that yet. We got to learn how to win, and we are learning how to win. And I think the more we win, we have the potential to establish that as well.
Rusty, before we let you run here, your thoughts on the next series? I mean, you got to take care of business, I believe, Tennessee Tech tomorrow, and then Texas A&M on the road.
I thought you were going to ask me about Evan Russell. I mean, come on.
I know how you get a little sensitive about your record, Rusty. I wouldn't want to bring up painful memories.
I mean, what he did was just, it was incredible. I mean, I texted a friend of mine who is probably the guru of SEC baseball, Jeff Muir, and I said, have you ever heard of anybody hitting three home runs in the same season in one game? And I did a little digging myself. Best I can tell, it's only been done one other time in the SEC. Brandon Larson in 1997 hit three home runs against Duke and Louisiana Tech in the same season. And oh, by the way, he hit 40 home runs that year, which is still an SEC record. what the kid did is just phenomenal. He was a walk on. It's just a tremendous story. I mean, and the kid, he's a great kid, and I look forward to. I'm gonna make a point to meet him before the season's over. But he's just a super guy, super guy. But anyway, to answer your original question, Texas A&M, it'll be a good test. It'll be on the road. A&M lost 2 of 3 over the weekend at Arkansas, I believe. And they're not as talented as they have been in the past. They certainly it won't be easy, but I mean, I think that's a series that Tennessee can certainly win if they play well. They've got to continue to play well, and they've got to get some people healthy. You know, Spence started at shortstop yesterday, which is a good sign. He didn't have a hit in the series, but he walked 6 times. We've got to get his back going a little bit. But, it'll be an interesting next 15 league games. And depending on how Tennessee plays will depend on if they're going to play postseason baseball, Lindsey Nelson, in late May, early June.
The Russell Grand Slam was it was one of the most incredible moments I've ever witnessed in person, Rusty, because of they went to the mound to talk to him. So there was some extra time before he came up to hit, right? And Everybody in the stadium is having the same thought. You could just feel it. Everybody's thinking, Okay, he's already hit 2. There's no way. Right? It's like it would be really cool, but that's not going to happen. And then on the first pitch, it was bizarre.
If the first pitch is a strike when you have runners in scoring position, you better start hacking. I was just the whole time. I was never thinking home run. I was thinking,
fly ball.
He can find it. Just find a gap someplace. Find a gap.
Well,
left
even
center,
it was
right center, whatever.
It was just a one run game, right? So I'm just thinking, fly ball. Let's tag up and tie the game.
I'd work too.
And then it was
pretty phenomenal. I mean, just trust me. He will never forget those 2 days for the rest of his life. I know that for a fact.
Can't imagine. Rusty, it's awesome talking baseball with you. As always, I'm sure we will do it again soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Russell. Talk to you later.
Rusty Enzer, VFL and SEC Network baseball analyst, making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive, talking a little UT baseball. Tony Vitello and the boys. Dropping 2 of 3 against Vanderbilt, but still, you come out of that weekend feeling. I mean, isn't that strange? We lost the series, Adam, and yet the tone of that conversation and every conversation we've had with callers so far today, it feels like we won.
Yeah, the morale is still there despite losing the series.
Yep. Well, the war continues. We lost the battle, but the war continues.
Well, we might be seeing them again. Who knows?
You might be seeing them again. Stay with us. 865-546-8200 is your number if you want to get on the show. 546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. If your loved one is injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III at 865-558-8030 or just visit them online at g3helpme.com. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. The Drive continues. We're back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Smith back with you. Bear a little under the weather this afternoon. Adam Hickman is with me. The Fan Run Studios, Rusty Enzer on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Adam, what did you learn?
I really liked how he talked about, we're not the most talented team in the country. There's the Vanderbilts out there. There's the Arkansas out there. But one thing you're going to get every night is you're going to get a team that loves playing for Coach V. You're going to get a team that gives it everything they got. And by golly, they're going to put a smile on your face.
Here's how big of a dork I am. I spent some time yesterday looking at our commitment list for baseball because of the talent question. And we do have a guy, I think his name is House, maybe Colin House or something like that, who's committed. He's a pitcher from the mid-state. And he's already – he's a big dude, kind of rocker-esque, already throws in the upper 90s. But it's one of those things where he might go to the Major League Baseball draft.
Brady House, is that his name?
There's another. Who's the other? Do you have the whole list in front? There's
yeah, I got maybe it right Colin. Here in front of me.
It might be Brady House. I'm not sure, but there's we have a couple of really good commitments, but it sounds like several of them are going to have. I mean, you get drafted in the top five rounds or so of the Major League Baseball draft. You're going to get multi-million dollar contracts, and that's just hard to turn down to come to college to play for a sport that doesn't give full scholarships.
So it says Brady House is an infielder.
Yeah.
They have him listed as a five-star.
Yeah, he's a really good prospect. Is he from Brooklyn?
He's from, I guess it's Winder, Georgia.
Okay, we've got a really –
Christian Moore is a five-star infielder from Brooklyn.
Yeah, he's another one that sounds really good.
Are you talking about Chase Burns?
Chase
from Gallatin?
Burns. Yeah, from Gallatin, yeah. This dude throws smoke. Throws smoke. But are we going to be able to get him here? And this gets back to what Rusty was talking about the stadium. That's why everybody's so crazy about the stadium. Why are you guys talking about the stadium? Why do you keep talking about the stadium? Because it's not up to SEC standards anymore. And you heard Chris Burke on the show last week. He said, look, Vitello doesn't even bring guys in through the front gates of the stadium because it looks so puny compared to what these guys are seeing when they go to LSU, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and even Alabama now. And so I look at it, it would be great to just go ahead and do a complete $50 million redo. I don't know that they're going to be able to do that right now, but you can spruce up the outside of it, make the entrance look a little more grand, a little more brickwork. I think you can expand the press area so it can be a little bit more functional. We do host a regional and maybe even a super regional. And then I think the other thing that's going to have to be a priority, and most people don't care about this because it doesn't affect most of us, but they're going to have some sort of luxury club seating area because that will bring in enough money to make it worthwhile.
So what's the deal out there in left field where it looks like they're sitting on a deck?
They call it the porch. They call it the porch, and it's kind of where the outfield fence is basically waist high, and you can sit out there and grill, and you got umbrellas and stuff, and it's pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet. But they could renovate it a little bit, make it a little bit more upscale.
Well, that's another thing they're talking about doing is making it a little more permanent. Basically, it's just a big metal platform that you stand on back there. But they're, I guess, maybe making that more of a brick foundation.
Yeah, and make it something that would be a commodity that people would want to spend some cash to, reserve for a night.
And there's a lot of room down the left field line where you can add in seats, much like you have on the first base line. And then I think it would be cool to have some grandstands maybe behind the right field fence to where, A, you add more seating, and B, you cover up the train yard, which I guess is – some people find that of a bit of an eyesore. I don't mind it. I think it's kind of quaint myself. But some people have said that doesn't look collegiate or whatever. But, yeah, like I told Rusty, and it had been a long time since I've been to a ball game there. It is a very cool college vibe that they have in that park with the trees around that you can kind of see. And it's
I like the deck they got over there where everybody's just lined up against that.
Yeah, it's very cool, man. It's very cool. And I do think that here in the next couple of weeks, they'll probably open things up a little bit more. They opened it up a lot. I think they had about 50% capacity as opposed to 25% capacity for the LSU and Florida series.
Just from the eye test, though, it looked like they were pushing 60 plus maybe.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. They let a lot of people in there, man. But I do think that come late May or mid-May, that Arkansas series, would love to see it opened up by then. Would love to see a full house for the Arkansas series because, I mean, they very well could be number one in the nation when they come in here. Could be a lot riding on it. And that would be a lot of fun to have because I did find myself thinking, man, this atmosphere is great, but really every seat in the building could be full. And if they give you the opportunity, I think it will be for that Arkansas series. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. If you want to chime in with us, today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day: who starts at quarterback for the Vols now that Joe Milton has thrown his hat into the ring? The season opener against Bowling Green, over 200 votes at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 31.3% of the audience is still going with Hendon Hooker, 24.8% going with Milton, 22.9% going with Bailey, and 21% going with Maurer. I'm going with Milton. My stance is he would not come here unless he thought he was going to start. I get they all think they're going to start, but he's played at Michigan. He knows what D1 quarterbacks look like, and I'm sure that he's been told that he's going to have an excellent opportunity to start here by the staff. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come. I don't think he was promised the job, but maybe everything but promised the job. So that's what I'm going with. And it's just strange to me, and I think a lot of it is baseball. I think a lot of it is football frustration, but Tennessee very well may have announced their starting quarterback today. I don't know. They didn't announce it, but the news broke, and it's just not something, it's nowhere near being the number one topic of conversation. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime on Tennessee football or baseball this afternoon, we would love to hear from you. All right, Hickman. After your top five at five, I want your report on Major League. A stunning development Friday on the show when Adam Hickman, not only was it revealed that he has never seen the 90s baseball classic Major League, he didn't even know what we were talking about. He had no idea what it even was, but like a good soldier, he did his homework, he has seen the film, and he has prepared a review for us. We'll get to that coming up here in hour number three.
Looking forward to it. Not going to spoil anything, so stay tuned.
Skinner says, not 100%, but pretty sure there are two other SEC baseball stadiums with train tracks. I don't mind. I mean, do you find anything about our ballpark ugly or off-putting? I think it's kind of cool having the train yard back there. I mean,
okay, I don't think it's ugly, but when you do look at other stadiums, you can tell that's a smaller stadium. The train tracks don't bother me, actually. Kind of like it.
People talking about Vanderbilt and the scholarship issue. They are able to offer a little bit more money than other SEC schools.
Does that have to do with the academics there? Anything?
It has to do with need-based thing. I don't know. I'd have to get somebody smarter than me to explain. I've had to explain. It's one of those things that has been explained to me a billion times, and I never can quite remember all the details, but it has to do with them being a private school, and it's a need-based thing where they can basically determine how much anybody who's admitted to the school, athletes included, you could go and determine how much money their parents can afford to pay and then basically make that their tuition. And so you take that and then the scholarship added on to that and makes it much cheaper to go to Vanderbilt than it does to go to, say, Tennessee. But Vanderbilt people get very touchy when you mention that. They're adamant that it is not that big a deal. Although, you look at their team, man, and not just those two pitchers, but, I mean, they had a murderer's row. I mean, that leadoff hitter tormented us yesterday. It seemed like every time you turned around, that dude was on base.
Their,
he must have had 10 at-bats.
Their catcher, Gonzalez, had a pretty good series, too. I really did not like that guy.
Oh, yeah, he was obnoxious. First baseman was really good for them as well. A good team, man. It was a good measuring stick series for Tony Vitello with the boys, just to kind of see where they stack up against the creme de la creme and how much improvement they have to make before team like Arkansas comes to town before they go to South Carolina, before they look ahead to postseason play. Stay with us. We got another hour of The Drive coming up. Adam's got your top five at five. More Fan Run Radio after this.